Well, good morning and Merry Christmas to you all. This has been a lovely brunch this morning, so thank you all for coming. It is such a privilege to stand before you to share God's Word with you this morning. I've been a part of this Bible study for about 6 years, and I have profited so much from the in-depth study of God's Word. And our study in James this semester has been no different, and I'm sure that y'all could say the same. Hasn't it been encouraging and challenging? Together, we have been taught to remain steadfast in trial, and thus to obtain the crown of life which God has promised to those who love Him. We have been taught to be doers of God's Word, not merely hearers. We've been taught to bridle our tongue, to seek the Lord in prayer with faith, and to humble ourselves before the Lord. And one of my favorite passages was the end of James 2, the passage about faith and works. And in this section, we learn that faith, true faith in God, will always be expressed by a life of obedient works. James 2:17 says, "So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. A person's works complete their faith in that they prove that the faith is living and authentic." And in that passage, we were given two Old Testament examples in Abraham and Rahab. And we were taught by this respected patriarch of Israel and also this Gentile woman of somewhat shady vocation. We were taught how God uses faith and works, and how they go hand in hand. Well, this morning I wanted to offer a third example of how faith and works go together. It's another biblical character who shines brightly because of how her beautiful faith spilled over into obedient works. She's our Christmas example. She's Mary, the mother of Jesus. I think you have in front of you on the table there the passage on the back of your hymn sheets, the passage that I wanted to read for you this morning. It's Luke chapter 1, 26 through 38. So let's read that as we hear about Mary's life this morning. "In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, 'Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you.' But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end.' And Mary said to the angel, 'How will this be, since I am a virgin?' And the angel answered her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God.' And Mary said, 'Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word.' And the angel departed from her." I'd like us to consider the following women. The first woman is in line in front of you in the carpool line at your child's school. And as you drive up, you notice there's a bit of a commotion, and you look closely and you realize that a teenager has just backed their car right into the side of this woman's van, leaving a huge dent. And you go and you offer your assistance. And she says, "No, I think we're fine. Nobody got hurt. We're okay. I really just feel sorry for the teenager that hit me. A second woman is also in line in front of you. This time you're at the grocery store. This woman is indignant and angry that the clerk behind the counter is taking so long to process her credit card. When the transaction is finally complete, she scolds the worker, snaps up her groceries, storms out of the store. Or a third woman. She's just received news that her dad's cancer is back, and it's not looking good. And she's heartbroken, but she says that she can't wait to see how the Lord is going to use this for his glory. And through tears, she expresses her total confidence that God is good and that God loves her. And later she emails you and says that she's hungry for God's word. And can you think of any verses that might be an encouragement to her? The fourth woman had an unexpected meeting with her boss today. And she was informed that she's being transferred to another city and she must either go or lose her job. The thought of leaving her friends and her church and her home is just too much to bear. And she had always thought that God was loving and good, but now she's not so sure. Why would God do this to her? She decides to make the move in order to save the job, but inside she is bitter and hopeless. Can you identify with any of these women? Do their hearts of peace and anger, fear, or faith resemble your heart? How do you respond when God interrupts your life, when he ordains those events of your life in a way that you did not expect or even want? And how does God want us to respond? Well, we've just read about Mary. And if there was ever a woman who had her plans for life interrupted by God, it was her. She was just a simple, everyday girl expecting a simple, everyday life. She was young, engaged to be married, looking forward to a life with her husband that she loved and children that she enjoyed, working, playing, walking with God. And then God interrupted her life. The angel Gabriel announced to Mary a plan for her life that was completely different than what she expected. It was a plan that God had created from the beginning of the world. But for Mary, it was wholly unexpected. And it was not just unexpected, it was shocking. For many of us that know this passage well, we often forget how really shocking it is. God wanted to use Mary, a young girl, a virgin, engaged but not yet married, to bear a son. And not just any son, but the Son of God, the ultimate Son, the Savior of the world, the Messiah promised from the beginning of time. This news was the most astounding message that Mary had ever heard, had ever imagined. The text tells us that she was afraid and greatly troubled. It was so unexpected, so shocking, that she could hardly take it all in. I don't know about you, but when I put myself in Mary's shoes, I think right about then, I would have started in with the questions and the protests and the fears and the tears and the excuses. But not Mary. Even as this interruption from God was astonishing, so Mary's response is also astonishing. In my mind, her words are some of the most beautiful in all the scriptures. She simply says, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. May it be to me according to your word." That's it. "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." Mary's beautiful faith spills over into obedient works, and the Lord wants us to learn from her example. I want to look first at her works, that which is outwardly displayed by Mary in this passage. And as I look at her works, there are two things that really stand out in my mind. The first is that Mary was ready for obedience. She didn't waffle, she didn't flip-flop. She was immediate, and she was decisive. This tells me that even before the angel appeared to her, Mary had a life poised for obedience. She didn't just muster up that obedience for the very first time right then and there. She had already settled this, what her life was going to be about. And so she was God's servant. When he called, she was ready to obey. The second thing I notice is that Mary's obedience was marked by a total surrender to the Lord. The very basis of her obedience is that she was the servant of the king. Her humble heart had completely yielded to his authority in her life, and she was able to fully surrender to him no matter the call. She held nothing back. She made no protests. She expressed no doubts. Her works reflect a total submission to her kingship, to his kingship. In his commentary on Luke, J.C. Ryle says this: "It was no light matter to become the mother of our Lord in this unheard of and mysterious way. It brought with it later on great honor, but for the present, it put Mary's reputation at stake and was a great test of Mary's faith. All this danger and trial, the Holy Virgin Mary was willing to risk. She asks no additional questions. She raises no further objections. She accepts the honor placed on her." Mary's works in this passage show a ready obedience in full surrender to the king. And for years, I've admired Mary's obedience in this passage. It is so winsome. It is so beautiful. It's so praiseworthy. And do you ever find yourself asking, how can I be like that? Well, we've learned from James that obedient works flow out of a heart of faith. So I want to just take a step back and say, what was Mary's faith? What was that seed of faith in her heart that bore such beautiful fruit? It's simply this: Mary believed in God and trusted in his promises. She believed in God and she trusted his promises. Hebrews 11:6 says, "And without faith it is impossible to please him, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him." This was Mary's faith. So what are these promises that she trusted? Well, the Bible is one great promise from God. It is the gospel, the good news of Jesus. The scripture tells us of God's grand overarching promises and his specific, more detailed promises. Later on in this chapter in Mary's Magnificat, we learn that Mary knew God's promises from the Old Testament, and she knew and trusted how God had answered those promises. We learn that she knows God's promises, that he's promised for the future, and that she believed that God would answer those promises. And we even have a promise embedded in the passage, and it's the very promise that prompts Mary's obedient reply. The angel says, "For nothing will be impossible with God." Mary trusted in God above all things, and she believed that what he said was true. She banked her entire life on it. This is the beautiful faith that spilled over into such astounding obedience. Well, 3 years and 2 days ago, I had one of those interruptions from God, and it was a day that changed my life forever for the good. Somewhat like Mary, I received some baby news of my own. I was pregnant with twins. And as I sat in my doctor's office trying to take this all in, my joy and shock was strangely mixed with this recurring thought flowing through my mind: I'm showing you my goodness. I am showing you my goodness. Like Mary, I tried to discern how the Lord wanted me to respond. in that moment. As the day went on, I was busy processing the exciting news. And as the day grew into the evening, I started to get really tired and overwhelmed. And unlike Mary, the fears and the doubts and the questions just crowded in, and I caved in to worry and unbelief. How was I going to care for four little ones all at once? My son had just turned four, and my daughter was one. And could I even carry these twins to term? And what if there was medical problems? And how were we going to afford all this anyways? And those questions and a million more flooded my heart and my mind. And as I went to bed that night, I tried to pray about it, but I was just filled with anxiety. During the night, my son called out for a glass of water. And his bedroom is downstairs from ours. And over the years, I have learned that motherly skill of getting down the stairs, helping a child get a glass of water, tucking them back up in bed, and getting back up the stairs without really ever waking up. It's a very helpful skill. But this night was different. As I tucked him back in bed and I climbed the stairs, I was still very much in a sleepy stupor. All of a sudden, these words came to my mind as clearly as if it were the middle of the day. Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. I immediately froze on the stairs, now wide awake. For years, I had admired Mary's faith in this passage, and I had even said, "Oh, Lord, would that I could be that kind of woman if you ever called me to trust in you like that." And this was it. This was what the Lord wanted from me in all this, not questions and anxiety and unbelief, but a ready and surrendered obedience fueled by a faith that trusted him. This was my Mary moment. In the years that have followed, I have been on a wild ride of faith, filled with such joy, but also tests and trials like I've never faced. And as I think about what God has taught me about himself, there are two things in particular that I wanted to share with you this morning. The first is that God is worthy of our trust. Proverbs 30, verse 5 says, "Every word of God proves true. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him." And Isaiah 26, verse 4, "Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord God is an everlasting rock." Yes, he is. The scriptures declare it, and I am here to testify to it today. He is an everlasting rock. He is the God who makes promises, and he is the God who keeps his promises. I have watched in awe as he has proved himself trustworthy in my life. Our God is true to his almighty word. Secondly, I have learned that God delights to pour out his love on all those who trust in him. Psalm 32:10 says, "Steadfast love surrounds the one whose trust is in the Lord." The journey of faith is one that begins in his love, it is sustained in his love, and it is completed in his love. It is his joy to surround you in his love as you look to him. And I want to say this specifically because it pertains to so many of you. One of the ways that the Lord poured out his love on me is through this body, through so many of you, who daily, even hourly, loved me, prayed for me, encouraged me, and performed countless acts of kindness for me and my family. You have been evidence to me that God loves me and that he delights to show me that he loves me. That is a truth that I used to know in my head, and now I believe it in my heart. God delights to pour out his love on all those who trust in him. I think if Mary were standing here today, that she would share with you a similar testimony, that God proved utterly trustworthy in her life and that God poured out his love for her as she trusted in him. But I know that many of you in this room are facing trials, more bitter, more devastating, more crushing than anything I've mentioned or even that we've read about in Mary's experience. And you're asking, what about me? How is God keeping his promises in my life? And if he delights to show me his love, why is this so painful? To those of you who feel this way, I want to say to you that God sees you and that God knows you and God loves you. And he has provided a word for you far more powerful than my testimony or even that of Mary's. And that word is his son, Jesus. In the beginning of the world, way back in Genesis 3, God promised to send a Savior to rescue his people from sin and death and even from the pain that you are enduring today. This Savior is Jesus, the perfect Son of God, who came to earth as a baby born of Mary's womb. He grew up and headed straight for the cross, where this holy Son of God took upon himself the sin of every person, past, present, and future, and paid the awful punishment of death that we deserved. 3 days later, he rose again, declaring victory over sin and death, and now he offers you and me the status of holy and blameless as we trust in him. As encouraging as it is to hear the testimonies of the women around us, or even to study Mary's life, we must focus in on Jesus' faith. His life of faith, ultimately expressed at the cross, is infinitely greater than any work of faith ever. He is our supreme example. And not only that, Jesus' faithfulness at the cross is the very reason why you and I can have faith in God. It is only through Jesus and his work on the cross that we can receive a new heart that believes him and trusts his promises. Do you believe that Jesus keeps his promises and is worthy of your trust? Romans 8:32 says, "He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things?" On the cross, in that most wondrous faith and works combination ever displayed, Jesus declared to you, "I have kept all my promises. I am trustworthy." He gave everything to prove it to you. Do you believe that he delights to pour out his love on all those who trust in him? Jesus declares to you, "It is my joy to love you." Listen to the great news in 1 John 4:9 and 10. "In this the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." Trust him. He has died for your sins because he loves to love you. That night on my stairs was a turning point for me. I climbed into bed again and I prayed. And this time it was a prayer of faith, and not a prayer that rehearsed all my worries and all my fears. I asked the Lord for the faith to believe him, to believe that he was true to his promises, and to believe that what he was doing in my life was his faithfulness, to believe that he was worth banking everything on. And I asked him to help me live out this faith in a life of unwavering obedience to him. From that night on, Mary's reply became my theme. Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And do you know why I was able to pray a prayer of faith that night? It is not because I am some sort of spiritual giant. I am so far from that. I was only able to pray a prayer of faith because Jesus has paid for my sins on the cross. If he could take my dead, wicked heart that hated him and give me a new, living heart that loved him, then surely he could take care of this mommy's daily needs. And the same is true for you, no matter what you face today. So when God interrupts your life in the small, trivial ways or in the bigger, more challenging ways, what will be your response? Let me encourage you, believe in God and trust in his promises. You will find him utterly trustworthy. You will find a God who delights to shower you with his infinite love. And as you trust him, stand by and watch as by God's grace, your seed of faith bears the beautiful fruit of obedient works. Let's pray together. Lord, how we praise you that you came to earth and that you went to the cross and that you have paid the punishment that we deserve so that we can be your children. As we trust in you, God, help us to live a life that pleases you. Give us the faith we need for all that we face today. Thank you that you are trustworthy and that you love us. We commit ourselves to you again this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.